I didn't mention who would be the speaker earlier because I wanted you to hang around. So, a couple of weeks, actually it was our last time, I believe, together, Michael, because it wasn't last week, he was off, but the week before that, he said, "Hey, if I ever need a last-minute message, can I call on you?" I said, "Absolutely," you know, because to me, when you read the Bible, and this, I said, you know, I'm always being convicted by things that I can pass on. Well, I didn't know he was going to hit me up so fast. So this afternoon, we visited before he left this morning, and he said, "Are you able?" And I said, "You know what? I had something on my heart this morning. Not prepared, but I had something on my heart." And so, sure enough, this afternoon I got the call. So I'm happy to serve, happy to be here, happy to speak. Thank you all for being here. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, our God, I just thank you so much for all that you blessed us with. And regardless of what you blessed us with, Lord, we will praise you because of who you are. Almighty God, you are worthy of all worship, all praise. How great you are, God, beyond anything we can fathom. We praise you today. Lord, as we look at our local church, we be convicted by our shortcomings as individuals that make up the church and our church as a whole. Lord, not just for a guilty feeling, Lord, but that we improve as Michael spoke on this morning in our ministries, and that you be glorified in it. Lord, I pray for 100% unity in this church, that your will be done. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there's been something on my heart, as I mentioned, and there's something that I've just been noticing more and more that's a little alarming to me. And it is how a church identifies themselves. And so I have a few slides of a few marquees that have been out that I thought were a little amusing. Do you know what hell is? Come hear our preacher. Now I can do that because he's not here. Don't let your worries kill you. Let the church help. So, tired of being a loser? Turn to God. That's motivational. Church parking violators will be baptized. I have no idea what that's about. I just saw it and found it amusing. And forgive your enemies, it messes with their head. That is biblical. It will press coals, burning coals upon their head, but I don't know if that's exactly the point. God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. Was it that last one? Okay. I had a number of them. Not all of them were, she was able to get in. One of them was, "Come visit today. Our preacher's not here. On vacation," or something like that. But we have all these signs out there. I even saw one a while back where these churches were across the street from each other, two different denominations, and they started getting into this tit-for-tat thing on their marquees. And one's like, all dogs go to heaven. The other one's like, dogs don't go to heaven. And then they start getting in this battle on their marquees. But what do we do to identify as ourselves? And it's becoming really concerning, as I mentioned. If you drive down Highway 182, I said it was 69, but it wasn't. It's 182. You'll see a church sign there. And actually, I've seen a few of these. It says, "We preach the KJV." Which is nothing wrong with that. But is that really the best way to identify what your church is? Is this our best foot forward, that we preach the KJV? Is that what we want to be seen as, that we want to be known as? We had other churches that are a contemporary church. You know, you can wear your skinny jeans and a t-shirt and be trendy. You got a big band up there that's big, you know, big rocking band and special effects and a laser show maybe and all these kinds of things. You know, that's the contemporary church. And then you've got your traditional church. You know, we sing the hymns. We follow the traditional structure. We got 3 to 4 songs, a special, and then preaching. That's how it's supposed to be done. This is how we do it in the traditional church. You got your cowboy church. Cowboy church has been really good at getting people with this idea that you can come as you are. I know of a cowboy church that they don't even put carpet down. Because they will literally come out of the dairies and everything else and in their muddy boots and, you know, and come as you are, which is great, you know. I always say, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. But and they may even have a rodeo arena out back, you know, for their events. So you have all these identities as a church. But when you ask, you know, when you ask New Hope, if we had, you know, a sign out, how would you describe your local church? You know, what do you say? You know, well, I'm interested in visiting New Hope. Well, we are what? How do you describe that? I would argue that if the best thing you can say about New Hope is that we preach the New King James Version, that's probably not saying a whole lot for us. Or that we sing from the hymns. Well, if that's our best foot forward, I don't know that that's our best foot forward. I don't know if that's what we live for as a church. How does a church identify itself? And much like individuals, I've seen this in the individual level. You may have seen it too. How does an individual identify? Well, it's by their sexual preference. I mean, that's been the common theme. I'm bi, I'm gay, I'm this, I'm that. That's my identity now. This is how everybody's identifying themselves. And that's not your identity. Okay? That's a trait, maybe, but not your identity. And I feel like the churches have done the same thing. We've gone around and identified ourselves as a certain particular thing, even a BMA Baptist, you know. Is that really, I mean, important? Yes. Part of the association that we're in and that what we support. But is that our best foot forward of saying that is our identity? So, this has been concerning to me. And so how should New Hope identify itself? I think we start with two questions. I think we'll go back to the root. Let's go back to the first local church that was established. And I want to say this. I've heard, I was at a church where they debated this for like 2 months, this men's group. I don't want to get into when the church began, okay? I don't want to start that debate. Let's just say that after Jesus' ascension, this was the first evidence of a local church. I think we can agree on that. So, if you will, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're just going to look at a couple of verses there. Verses 46 and 47. How did the local church begin? Many of you are very familiar with this passage, but if you're not, just a quick synopsis. We've just had, you know, the big day of Pentecost, the big, you know, the fire, the Peter's message that's just cutting the people to the quick, cutting them to the core. How do we be saved? You know, we've come to this. And now following this, we get into these last two verses of chapter 2. I want you to see the traits, the things that they're doing here. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their church daily those who were being saved. So some things I want you to notice about that. So let's break that down a little bit. One, daily in the temple. Can you imagine going to church every day? Every day. Going to the temple. The temple, or putting it in today's terms, going to church. They're going to church every day. They were in one accord. Why? Well, because they have one thing in their focus right now. This is before they got distracted with all the other little things that you've got They had one thing in their focus right now. They were in one accord. Jesus is risen, and he is Lord. That was their one accord. And what were we doing? Well, we're going to fellowship. We're going to get together. We're going to do all these things. We're going to meet daily in the temple. We're going to break bread from house to house. Notice, they don't just stay in the temple. This isn't just in the church. They're going from house to house, enjoying breaking bread, enjoying each other's company. They ate with gladness and simplicity of heart, or sincerity is another way to put that. And praising God and having favor with all the people. Isn't that just a wonderful image of the first church coming together? And all they're focused on is one thing. Just one thing, really. Just being in one accord around Jesus. I've shared this analogy earlier in our Sunday school class. One of the things I pray for a lot is that Jesus be the center of my family, and that he draws us all closer to him. And as he draws us all closer to him, what does that do to us? It draws us closer together. At this point, Jesus was the center. And as all of them were being drawn closer to him, they were being drawn closer together. So this is where we background to. This is where the church came from. And what was the effect of all this? Adding daily to their numbers. Or the other thing is, the Lord was saving daily. Adding daily to those who were being saved. Can you imagine daily? Can you imagine daily? Can you imagine weekly? Can you imagine, you know, one of my visions that may be unrealistic, but once again, it's unrealistic, is that we just turn the baptism water on every Sunday, anticipating someone being saved. That's my vision. And just like the Ethiopian saying, here's water, why can't I be baptized? You know, a person is saved and, hey, we're ready. Water's good. I mean, that's my vision. What if we had people saved? What if God was adding to our number every week? So that's kind of the history of where everything comes from. And from that, I think we can see a lot of our detail of what the identity was. Right? And so then my second question is, what is the purpose? I mean, why are we all here? Why does New Hope Baptist Church exist? I saw, I went to a church a long time ago. It had 10 core values. And one of the things that stuck out was one of the things that Michael mentioned this morning, was to be culturally relevant. To be culturally relevant. To be relevant in your culture today. I heard it asked one time, if your church were to die, would anybody in your community even know it? Are we culturally relevant? Are we even relevant to the community around us? There was an atheist that showed up one time. The church had caught fire. And the atheist showed up to watch. And one of the church members saw him there, and he says, well, fine time for you to show up. And he said, well, this is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire. But really, are we being culturally relevant? Why were they? Did they stay in the temple all the time? No. They got out. So I think we can see from this what the church was starting out to be. And then we get into, what is the purpose of local church? What should we be doing? Is it just a preaching? I had a youth many years ago. I was teaching some youth in Grand Saline. And one of the youth said, my mom just watches David Dykes on TV. And I said, you know, David Dykes is a good preacher. That's good. And I said, but, I want to give you an example of what a local church is, though. I said, you know, it just so happened, like a week prior to that, there was a junior high kid that died in his sleep in Quitman. Just died in his sleep. And they were active in their local church. I said, now, those people have these people coming around them. They have their local church around them, encouraging them, supporting them. I said, your TV preacher isn't going to be doing that. That's not, you know, that's not the purpose of the church goes way beyond just a Sunday morning preaching. And I'm afraid that's maybe where some people have gotten mixed up. Well, I showed up on Sunday morning, or the preaching, that was church. Well, I think the church is a lot more than that. And Paul addresses this really well in 2 Timothy. So if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're just going to read the first two verses there. This is him speaking to his young Timothy, mentoring him. But I think he can. I think when he's saying a lot of this to Timothy, he's expecting Timothy to convey this to the church, right? So, verse 1, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. I think Paul right there pretty much takes everything and puts it all right there and compiles it. This is why we exist. This is what our church does. This is how we interrelate. One, preach the word. Now let me, that preach is not what we often think of as preach. As a matter of fact, what we often think of preach is nowhere in the Bible. When Michael comes up here and preaches on Sunday morning, what we call preaching, that is really teaching in the Bible. There is no biblical word for preaching of that notion. Preaching, when it talks about preach the word, pretty much any time when you see preach in this biblical text, it's to herald, it's to proclaim. Proclaim the word. As he mentioned this morning, the euangelicon, the preaching of the good news. We proclaim the good news. This goes all the way back to the Romans when they get a new Caesar, and they would this euangelicon is not a new word. This was something that they would do when they have a new Caesar. Caesar is Lord. The good news. Caesar is Lord. The new Caesar has been born. And this is one of the reasons they hated Christians so much, is because they're saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Do we have the good news? And this is one of the reasons they hated them so much. Jesus is Lord. This is our good news. This is what we herald. This is what we proclaim. We preach the word. What is the word? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the word. And so, one first thing, preach the word. Second thing, be ready. Be ready. In and out of season. I really honestly don't know what that means. In and out of season basically means, to me, it means when you think it's the season and when you think it's not. When you think you're being watched or when you're not. Or when you think Jesus could come back tomorrow, or maybe you're just kind of drifted off a little bit. But preach the word and be ready. Be ready. This, I think it really goes back to Jesus' teaching. The thief knew the robber was going to come. He would be ready. Be ready in and out of season. Be ready all the time. Convince. And convince is really not what we usually typically think of convince. It's more like a correct, refute. If we're in Bible study, and we do this sometimes in Steve's class, and we get a little bit of a thing going. But if in Steve's class, you know, somebody said, Steve, I don't think you're quite interpreting that scripture the right way. And someone will refute it, correct and refute. This is part of the church. This is part of the local assembly. We take scriptures, and I'll do this with Michael. Believe it or not, he and I don't agree on everything, right? And so he and I will discuss things later. We will refute back and forth. And that's good. We're holding each other accountable to the scriptures. Does the scripture back up what you just said? Are you taking a scripture and then trying to chase a rabbit with it? We hold each other accountable. We refute. We correct. Rebuking is a little different. Rebuking is rebuking an action. This is one of the terms that I found this interesting is when Jesus rebuked the wind. This is that term. He rebuked. He just basically shut it down. When you see someone, when we see each other acting in a way that's inappropriate, we should rebuke. Loving, in a loving way, but we should rebuke. Exhort. Exhort. This is one of the things that, once again, Michael was talking about this morning. Do we exhort to encourage, to uplift? Boy, I just don't know if I can do that. Oh, I believe you can. Maybe not through your might, but with God, all things are possible. Exhort, encourage each other. In our leadership team meeting earlier, we're talking about some things that we're a little short-handed on. We need people to do things. And so what do we need to do? Exhort. Exhort. There are people who are able. Maybe we just need a little encouragement. Exhorting. Encouraging in the Word. Encouraging in our ministries. Encouraging in our life. You got COVID. Exhort this person. Lift them up. Let them know that you're praying for them. Exhort. This is part of what the church does. How? With long suffering. Another word there, you may read patience, with long suffering. What does that mean? That means I don't just pat you on the back and leave you. This is long suffering. We're in this together. We are a church body. We're in this together. We exhort, we rebuke, we refute. We do all of these things together as a church body, and it's not just for a moment. This is through long suffering. It doesn't end when you offend me. It doesn't end when you refute my scriptures and say, I don't think that meant that. And I was like, well, fine. Just don't speak to me anymore and we'll be just fine. That's not it. It's long-suffering. Long-suffering. And then what else does it say? Through long-suffering and teaching or instruction. Through teaching of the Word. This is how these things are accomplished. And so then I think it matches up so well with Michael's outline from this morning. What do we have from this morning? We have evangelism. Once again, evangelism is usually that is actually that euangelicon, and I never say it right. But if Brother Schaefer is watching, don't correct me, okay? But euangelon. This is really a neat word. The euphoria, good, angels, angelion. Message, messengers, message, good message. This is what we're about. The good message, evangelism. It doesn't have to be complicated. I really think, I was so happy Michael mentioned that this morning. You don't have to have a program on evangelism. What's evangelism? Sharing the good news. You see Peter saying, we attest to what we have seen. What do? We're a witness. We attest to what we have seen in our own lives. Have you seen Jesus work in your life? Yes? This is what we talk about. This is what we attest to. I'm not just talking about some far out thing that I read in a book. Yes, I am. I am talking about what I read in a book. But I'm also telling you, I've experienced it firsthand. I've seen God take care of me. I've seen God balance the books when I wasn't working and they shouldn't have balanced, but He did. I can testify to that. I can testify to His goodness, His mercy, despite all my stupid, stupid, sinful failures. Can you attest to that? Can you share that with other people? That's all it is. That's all it is. We don't have to put it into a big, complicated formula. Just share the good news. What has Jesus done for you? Discipleship. Are we building people up? Once again, who's discipled you, and are you discipling others? I got to say, my dad discipled me, and I had a youth minister that invested a lot of time in me. Are we discipling others? Are we bringing others up? Are we bringing others along with this? When you see that new person get baptized, what's our first thought? Yay, go. Yay, congratulations. Or do we want to get in and say, how can I help you? I want to help you build. I want to help you develop. And once again, I've seen discipleship programs, and they're not bad, but you don't have to have a complicated program. What do you need? You need to be a mentor. They need mentorship. A new person needs mentorship. A new Christian, a babe in the Christ, needs mentorship. We have a granddaughter. We have a granddaughter, a baby. What do we do? Do we follow a program to get her to talk and everything? No, we talk to her and we bring her along this way. We mentor people. We mentor a babe in Christ. We be there for them. We support them. Sometimes hold them accountable because you know what's going to happen next. You know they're going to be challenged. But in a loving way, we be there for them. We exhort them. We exhort them. We disciple them. We bring them up. We mentor them. Community relevant. Once again, and I agree with them 100%. You know, our churches in the past, when I think about how things used to be, you know, the good old days. Well, the good old days, we didn't get out much. The good old days were about everybody meeting here, which is good. It's good to have the churches packed on Sunday. But what were we doing out there? And we do see churches dying all the time. And I do believe this has a lot to do with it. It has to do with a lot to, are you out in the community? Are you doing things in the community? What can we do to meet these needs? You know, I would just personally love if we could get together a bilingual Hispanic church ministry going. That's the thing that first heard, when he mentioned this a year ago, he mentioned how our demographics have changed and how we have more Hispanic. Are we reaching these people? What are we doing? Are we going outside of these walls, or do we just expect them to come here? Jesus, John the Baptist, the ones you look at, Paul, he didn't bring people into the church. They got out. They got out to the church, and then they were drawn into the church. What are we doing? Community? Are we in the community? Are we relevant? And once again, ministry improvements. We know we need to improve. Boy, I know I need to improve. Ministry improvement. Are you able to take that that little feedback that might be good for us, take it and swallow it? And is it bitter or is it sweet? But are we able to take that and say, you know what? Yeah, I could improve in that area. I could do better. We can all do better. Some of us could do better by just starting to get involved at all. Do that first thing. I always talk about doing the first thing. When I was about 35, I was a pew sitter. I wouldn't do anything. I did one thing. Joined the local choir. And it opened up everything into so much more. And it's like, I can't explain it, but you get the first taste of something. You get the first taste of serving our Lord, and you just want more. You just start grabbing for more. The joy of serving the Lord, explain it. For those of you who serve, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, take one step to do one thing, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You just can't get enough. But all these things were his points from this morning. How well does that define our church? Is that a little better than, you know, we preach this, we're contemporary, we're traditional, we're a cowboy? This is our mission statement. I don't know how many people have read it. It's on our Faith Life app. It's on our website. If I had something to put on a sign, this is what I would like to put on a sign. Our mission as the church, a local body of believers, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that? The good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to make disciples of Christ. To whose glory? Is that to our glory? Do we take credit for that? To the glory of God, and to love and encourage one another. Is that our identity? Now we put that on our website, and we put that out. I don't know if it's anywhere else, honestly. But now, do we put it into action? Where are we in this? Are we a church that if they read our mission statement, they'd say, yes, you know what? They do. They fall right into that line. And I think we do pretty good, honestly, compared to other churches. I think we do pretty good. I think in the past couple of years we've been here, I think I really believe that there have been a lot of improvements and a lot of love that's shown and in ways that used to weren't. Are we where we need to be? Maybe, maybe not. I think we can always do better. Goes back to the ministry improvement. But are we living this out? Our mission as a church, local body believers, is to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of Christ, to glorify God, and to love and encourage one another. If I were to say one thing, I'd say let's make that our church goal for 2022. Any word? Thank you. It's always good to have an amen corner. Thank you all once again for being here. I hope this is just sharing something on my heart. I threw this together in about an hour, if you couldn't tell. Not the smoothest transitions there ever were, but I believe the point is there, and I pray that that what you heard was God in that and not just a bunch of words from a lowly servant. Let's all stand and be dismissed.